A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is 24th March 2022, Thursday class. We will be continuing our sharing from this book, The Wonderful Dhamma, Lotus Flower Sutta. But we are at the end, where there is a biography of Venerable Master Chien Hua, followed by his 18 vows. So we will finish this part before we move on to the next chapter. Just relax body and mind. Maintain some form of awareness within. And be off the light so that you can have a half an hour of awareness-based meditation. As usual, remember the first three of the four support to develop awareness-based meditation. The first support is relatively simple, but it needs to be done with understanding and with depth. Relax. Relaxation is number one. If you know how to relax, you can prepare your body and mind for good meditation. Or proper awareness-based meditation. So to relax the physical body is relatively easy. But to be really relaxed is not easy unless you have the understanding. Because the body must be completely at ease. No stress, no tension, no tightness, nothing. Like you are at ease. Healthy, peaceful, nothing to trouble you. Then you forget about everything that disturbs your physical body, especially your mind. So just relax. No need to think, no need to get yourself involved with anything. Then to relax the mind is more difficult. Because the mind, for most people who don't know how to use it, they are not trained. So they live their life, their daily life, in a heedless manner. There is no order within daily life. So they think a lot. They have a lot of wrong thoughts that give rise to what we call the five mental hindrances. And these are called mental hindrances, where they are mental states that hinders the mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. And what are they? The Buddha named it five. The first two is a pair, sensual desire and ill will, the positive and negative craving or reaction to sense experience. Means it includes all your like and dislike. Your pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, which will trigger off from the evil root of greed and hatred. So sensual desire and ill will are very common. When we experience a sense experience, be it a tactile consciousness or a thought consciousness, or when we see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, we will respond accordingly, according to our views, opinion, and conditioning. So whatever like and dislike that you arise, or aversion, craving, attachment, pleasant and unpleasant state of mind, these are the sensual, these are the mental hindrances, the first two. So for simplicity, the Buddha called it sensual desire, the desire of your senses, and ill will or anger or hatred or envy, jealousy or dislike. Then the third mental hindrance is, according to the Buddha, he classified it as the mind that is sleepy, lethargic, the dark, is not attentive, not enough energy, doesn't see the importance of this training or meditative training. So when the mind is dull, lethargic, and weak, it cannot meditate. So it will lead to sleepiness. So if you have such condition, it's a mental hindrance. So what you can do is go and wash your face if you are tired, okay? Then relax. If you don't have enough rest, you need to rest, you rest. Don't go and continuously allow yourself to be very, very tired or stressed out. If you have that condition, it's very difficult for you to meditate. So the body must be relatively not tired. Then it has this ability to maintain attentiveness or attention, to be aware. So slow and normal is a state of mind, a condition. Sometimes it could be due to your bodily condition. That's why you need to find out. And sometimes it could be a mental hindrance or a karmic condition. It can come and test you or make you sleepy, just make you sleepy. Then the mind just cannot go into the meditative state. Then the way you react to it is very important. You receive it, develop aversion over it, then more mental hindrance will be there. That's why you cannot be at peace in whatever situation you are. The first two mental hindrance will be there. Then the fourth mental hindrance is very common. According to the Buddha, is the mind that is restless. Restlessness of mind is not peaceful. Why? Because according to the Buddha, most people have fear, have worry, have anxiety, have problem, sorrow and lamentation. So when you hold on to all this, your mind become restless, especially fear. The root cause behind is always fear. Then it condition you to worry and give rise to anxiety. And sometimes it make you miserable. That's why you become very sorrowful. And then you lament over it. So all this is due to your self-delusion, lack of understanding. And for people who break their precept, they tend to have this mental hindrance because of what they do. They commit a lot of karmic negativity that leads to fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. All these are the karmic friction of what you have done. Then the last one is, of course, doubt. When you have doubt, when you are not able to understand or comprehend what is going on or what is the teaching. So that mind that has doubt cannot meditate, cannot develop understanding. So these are the five mental hindrances. So to overcome this, the Buddha said, you need to cultivate the opposite five, which are the spiritual faculty. They are Sadda, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. Sadda is faith in the Buddha and his teaching through knowing who the Buddha is, how special and unique a being he is, and how wonderful is his teaching. Because he is not only enlightened, he is fully enlightened. And his teaching can give us this awakening and enlightenment and free our mind from all physical and mental suffering so that we will not cling to this physical body. We will not cling to all the sankhara activity that arise. Then we will see clearly that the five aggregates of form and mind are impermanent. You attach and cling, it leads to suffering. And because they are impermanent, it's empty, non-self, not what you think, not a permanent and changing entity. So all this understanding will be there. So So faith is very important. Then that faith will drive you to cultivate this teaching. Where you see the importance, then after that you meditate. The virya is the one that actually give you the will or the spiritual tenacity to go this way, to cultivate this meditation. That's why you can relax, maintain awareness, to develop the awareness-based meditation. So if you do that, the awareness, which is sati or mindfulness, is the third spiritual faculty. When you are mindful and aware, there is no thought. That's why you are peaceful. The mental hindrance cannot arise because there will be no like and dislike. The duality created by thought. Then when you are just aware, you cannot be sleepy. That's why the awareness is very important. Then when you are able to be in the state of awareness, you will realize your true mind. You are patient enough to maintain awareness for as long as you can. Then slowly it will help you reverse all this heedless thinking, unnecessary thinking. The mundane thinking will slow down. Then you become very quiet, very peaceful. Then suddenly you will realize your true mind, which is tranquility, stillness, awareness without thought. That's how you develop the fourth spiritual faculty. When that one sati stabilizes, it becomes samadhi. Samadhi is mind that is just aware, at the same time collected and unwavering. When the mind that is in sati and samadhi can meditate, can see things as they are, can awaken, can insight into phenomena. That's how wisdom, the fifth spiritual faculty, arises. And when this five spiritual faculty is there, the five mental hindrance cease to be. That's how you develop the understanding to meditate. Okay, so now I will let you meditate on your own. Relax body and mind completely and maintain awareness. And the third support is maintain awareness for as long as you can. And when you are really skillful, you can move on to the fourth support, which is trust. Trust your nature to meditate. No more interference with the mind, the thought process. Then we can continue from where we started. The hard copy turned to page 287. For the soft copy, I think you don't have, but my daughter Sui managed to locate the biographical sketch of Venerable Master Xuanhua. So now you can look at the Zoom is pinned down there. So we will go through together. But the Venerable Master is a native from Shaocheng, County of Jilin Province. He was born on the 16th day of the third lunar month in the year of Wu at the beginning of the century, that means 19 or something. So this part is more towards the biography of Venerable Master Xuanhua. So now we at least go through so that we will develop the understanding. So the birthday here is not the English calendar, it's the lunar calendar. Yeah? Means our Chinese traditions can calendar. Yeah? So depending on the year, it is normally at least about a month. Yeah? Earlier than the English calendar. So normally the lunar year is shorter because every month for the lunar calendar is only 30 days. So times 12, you have 360 days. Whereas the actual year where the English calendar goes by is based on the Earth rotation around the Sun. So that one takes 365 days and a quarter. So almost 365.25 days. So every year there is a difference of 5 over days. So if your time is 5 or 5 plus, every 5 years there is an extra month. That's why in the Chinese calendar they add in this extra month they call Jun Gui, so that it will match with the English calendar. And the reason why they need to do it is because they came to realize through observation that the lunar year, which is based on the moon's circulation around the planet, our planet Earth, is accurate and good. But the only problem is because it differs from the actual seasonal type of movement where our planet Earth goes around the Sun. So because of that, every 5 years or one, they realize the season run. So that's why they have to add back that June grid to match it back. So this is the only difference, actually the lunar year or the English year, that is based on the Earth rotation around the Sun is similar, except different reference, different convention. But the one that go around the Sun is more accurate because the four seasons that manifest all over our planet based on our axis of rotation, where our Earth spin on an axis 66.5 degrees. So that one, the axis is very important because the axis is not vertical. That's why it created the day and night and the season that makes the planet unique. And because of the rotation and the core, which is mainly molten iron, there is this magnetic field that has been built up. So our Earth magnetic field has a lot of advantage, benefits. If it's not for the magnetic field, our atmosphere would have been gone. So because of the magnetic field, it managed to hold on to the atmosphere. So our atmosphere protects us from asteroid debris or whatever foreign metal that are actually all over in space from heating our planet and destroying it. So sometimes the asteroid is big enough before we can completely be dispersed, they still manage to impact our planet Earth. But so far it has not really created any major damages. And most of the asteroids, they got burned before they even hit the surface of the Earth. So if you look at the way our planet is a very unique planet, very rare. That's why we can have human existence. And not all planet has living beings or human beings. And our distance from the Sun is also very conducive. If it's too near the Sun, it's too hot. If it's too far, it's too cold. Then we happen to be relatively not too far, not too near. So we are the third planet, which is really beautiful. Whole planet Earth is really beautiful. That's why they call it the blue planet. And Mars is the fourth planet. But Mars must be very cold. But nevertheless, it's not too far. And Venus is the second planet. That one is definitely really hot, very, very hot. And of course, Mercury is even more hot. It's the first planet. Then as you move away, the other planets are much further, from Jupiter onward to Saturn to Uranus, then you got Pluto. Then now they managed to look at smaller one. So this, but there are a lot of moons on all these planets. The only unique thing about our planet Earth is you only got one moon. So these are the additional knowledge that people who don't study geography and doesn't know much about planets, science, astrology, you maybe can benefit from this. So this is just to explain the difference between lunar calendar and the English calendar. Okay, we go back. So Master Xuan Huang was born in the early century, means 1900 something, and on the 16th day of the third lunar month, in the year Wu, I also don't know what is Wu. Anyway, it's at the beginning of the century. His family surname was Bai, and his name was Yu Shu. He was also called Yu Si. His father, Bai Fuhai, was diligent and thrifty in managing the household. His mother, whose maiden name was Hu, ate only vegetarian food and recited the Buddha's name every day throughout her life. That's why the mother is very unique. So you look at the way the mother is. She only ate vegetarian food, and she recited the Buddha's name every day throughout her life. So most of these great beings, they will have parents who are also equally spiritual to a certain extent. When she was pregnant with the master, means Master Xuan Huang, she prayed to the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas. The night before his birth, in a dream, she saw Amitabha Buddha emitting bright light. Following that, the master was born. As a child, the master followed his mother's example and ate only vegetarian food and recited the Buddha's name. The master was quiet and untalkative by nature. This one seems to be quite a unique feature. Myself also same. My parents also told me I don't talk, I'm very quiet when I was born. And my grandmother thought I was dumb. cannot talk. But no. But my mind, I saw my photo when I was less than 1 year old, which my father took at the studio. Oh, beautiful that one. Really free mind. very innocent. But he had a righteous and heroic spirit. At the age of 11, upon seeing a neighbor's infant who had died, he became aware of the great matter of birth and death and the brevity of life and resolved to leave the home life. At the age of 12, he heard of how fellow piety of Fela's son Wang of Shaochen County, later known as Great Master Changren, I don't know how they pronounce it, has practiced Phila piety and attained the way, and he vowed to follow the Phila son's example. Repenting for being unfilial to his parent in the past, the master decided to bow to his parent every morning and evening as a way of acknowledging his fault and repaying his parent's kindness. He gradually became known for his filial conduct, and people call him the filial sanpai, means the filial son who bow three times. At 15, he took refuge under Venerable Master Zhang Zi. That same year, he began to attend school and master the four books of the five classics, the texts of the various Chinese school of thought, and the field of medicine, divination, astrology, and physiognomy. During his student years, he also participated in the Moral Society and other charitable societies. He explained the Six Patriarch Sutta, the Vajra Sutta, and other sutta for those who were illiterate, and started a free school for those who were poor and needy. When he was 19, his mother passed away, and he requested the Venerable Master Zhang Zi of Sanyuan, a three condition monastery, to shave his head. He was given the Dhamma name Ang Su and style name of Tulun, dressed in the left home robe. He built a simple hut by his mother's grave and observed the practice of Phila piety. During that period, he made 18 great vows: bow to Avatamsaka Flower Adornment Sutra, perform worship and pure repentance, practice Zen meditation, study the teaching, and ate only one meal a day, and did not lie down to sleep at night. As his skill grew ever more pure, he won the admiration and respect of the villagers. His intensely sincere effort to purify and cultivate himself moved the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, as well as the Dhamma protecting gods or devas and dragons. The miraculous response were too many to be counted. As news of this supernatural event spread far and wide, the master came to be regarded as an extraordinary monk. One day, as he was sitting in meditation, he saw the great master, the sixth patriarch, Liu Zhu, Hui Neng, came to his heart and told him, "In the future, you will go to the west, where you will meet limitless and boundless number of people. The living being you teach and transform will be as countless as the sand on the Ganges River. That will mark the beginning of Buddha Dharma in the west." After the sixth patriarch finished speaking, he suddenly vanished. When his observation of Phila piety was completed, the master went to Chang Pai Sun Mountain and dwelt in seclusion in the Amitabha cave, where he practiced austerity. Later, he returned to Sanyuan Monastery, where he was chosen to be the head of the assembly. During the period that he lived in Manchuria, the master contemplated people's potential and bestowed appropriate teaching. He awakened those who were confused and saved many people's lives. Countless dragons, snake, fox, ghosts, and spirits requested to take refuge and receive the precept from him, changing their evil and cultivating goodness. In 1946, because he esteemed the elder Master Xu Yun as a great hero of Buddhism, the master quickly packed his belongings and set out on his way to pay homage to him. during his arduous journey. He stayed at many of the renowned monasteries of mainland China. In 1947, he went to Potala Mountain to receive the complete ordination. In 1948, he reached Nanhua Monastery of Taoshi of Guangzhou, where he paid homage to Elder Master Xun and was assigned to be an instructor in the Nanhua Monastery Vinaya Academy. Later, he was appointed as Dean of Academic Affairs. The Elder Master Xun saw that the Master was an outstanding individual in Buddhism and transmitted the Dhamma lineage to him, giving him the Master the Dhamma name Xuanhua and making him the ninth patriarch of the Huiyang sect. The 45th generation since the first patriarch Mahakasapa. Yeah. So this one is the 45th. In 1949, the Master bid farewell to the Venerable Master Xun and went to Hong Kong to propagate the Dhamma. He gave equal importance to the five schools: the Zen school, the Doctrine school, Vinaya school, the Esoteric school, and the Pure Land, thus putting an end to sectarism. The Master also renovated old temple, printed sutras, and constructed images. He established Western Bliss Garden Monastery, Qi Xing Chan Monastery, and the Buddhist Lecture Hall. He lived in Hong Kong for more than 10 years, and at the earnest request of Lin Wing, he created an extensive affinity in the Dhamma. He delivered a succession of lectures on the Earthstone Sutra, the Vajra Sutra, the Amitabha Sutra, the Surangama Sutra, the Universal Door Chapter, and others. In addition, he held various Dhamma assemblies such as the Great Compassion Repentance, the Medicine Buddha or Master Repentant Recitation Sessions, and Meditation Session. He also published the magazine Xinghua Mind Dhamma. Every day he worked and traveled zealously for the sake of propagating the Great Dhamma. And as a result, the Buddha Dhamma flourished in Hong Kong. During that time, he also made several visits to Thailand, Burma, and other countries to investigate the Southern tradition or Theravada tradition of Buddhism. He wished to establish communication between Mahayana and Theravada tradition and unite the strength of Buddhism. In 1959, the Master saw that conditions were ripe in the West, and he instructed his disciples to establish the Sino-American Buddhist Association, later renamed the Dharmarine Buddhist Association in the United States. He traveled to Australia in 1961 and propagated the Dhamma there for a year. Since the condition was not yet right there, he returned to Hong Kong in 1962. That same year, at the invitation of the Buddhists in America, the Master traveled alone to the United States. He raised the banner of proper Dhamma at the Buddhist Lecture Hall in San Francisco. Because the Master started out living in a damp and windowless basement that resembled a grave, he called himself the monk in the grave. At that time, the Cuban Missile Crisis occurred between the United States and the Soviet Union, and the Master embarked on a total fast for 35 days to pray for an end to the hostility and for world peace. By the end of his fasting, the threat of war had dissolved. In 1968, the Surangama study and practice summer session was held, and over 30 students from the University of Washington in Seattle came to study the Buddha Dharma. After the season was concluded, five young Americans requested permission to shave their head and leave the homeland, marking the beginning of the Sangha in the history of American Buddhism. Since that time, the Venerable Master devoted his utmost effort to such tasks as propagating the Dhamma, supervising the translation of Buddhist canon, and developing education. He accepted a vast number of disciples, established monastery, and set forth principles. He focused the earnest sincerity of all disciples on the work of glorifying the proper Dhamma of the first come one to the end of time and throughout empty space and Dhamma time. In terms of propagating the Dhamma, the master lectured on the sutra and expounded the Dhamma virtually every single day for several decades, always giving simple explanation that make profound principle easy. So this one you must have if you want to proclaim the sutra and teach people. If you cannot make profound principle easy to understand, then it's not time yet for you to teach. He also worked actively to train both his left home and lay disciple to become skillful or skilled in propagating the Dhamma. He led many delegations to propagate the Dhamma at various universities and in many countries of the world. Oh, no wonder. That's why in the year 1975 and 78, I think he came over to University of Malaya where I met him. On both occasions, I met him. With the goal of guiding living beings to reform and to discover their inner wisdom. As for the translation of the Buddhist canon to date, over 100 volumes of the master's explanation of the scripture has been translated into English. No one else had overseen the translation of so many sutras into English. Translation into Spanish, Vietnamese and other languages had also been produced. His plan was to translate the entire Buddhist canon into the language of every country so that the Buddha Dharma could spread throughout the world. As for education at the city of 10,000 Buddhists, he established such educational institutions as Instilling Goodness Elementary School, Developing Virtue Secondary School, Dharmarayana Buddhist University, and the Sangha and Laity Training Program. Many of the affiliated monasteries also had weekend and weekday classes based on the 8 fundamental human virtue of filiality, fraternal respect, loyalty, trustworthiness, and propriety, righteousness, incorruptibility, and a sense of shame. Taking the public spirited, unselfish spirit of kindness, compassion, joy, and giving as their goal, boys and girls study separately, and the volunteer teacher regard education as their personal responsibility. In this way, students develop into capable individuals of incorruptible integrity, who will be able to save the world. The master taught his disciples that every day they should sit in meditation, recite the Buddha's name, bow in repentance, investigate the Dhamma rigorously, uphold the precept, eat one meal a day and only before noon, and always wear the precept sash. He instructed them to dwell in harmony and offer encouragement to each other. In this way, he established a Sangha that genuinely practiced the Buddha Dharma in the West, in the hope of uplifting the orthodox teaching and causing the proper Dhamma to long abide. Throughout his life, the Venerable Master was totally selfless. Oh, sorry, I skipped this part, one paragraph. The Venerable Master also opened up the city of 10,000 Buddhas as an international religious center promoting the unity of all world religion by giving everyone a chance to learn, communicate, cooperate, and pursue the truth and work for world peace. So this city of 10,000 Buddha, one Fulton, is actually very famous. And I remember that time they invited us over from Malaysia. So Malaysia quite a lot when I think Chief Reverend K. Sri Dhammananda of Wakefield, he led a delegation, and most people, even monks, ladies, they follow him. And it was a great opening ceremony. Throughout his life, the Venerable Master was totally selfless. He vowed to take the suffering and hardship of all living beings upon him and to delegate all his own blessings and joy to the living beings of the Dhammarāya. He practiced what was difficult to practice and endured what was difficult to endure, persevering in his heroic and pure resolve. He was a candle that refused to be blown out by the gala, an irreducible lump of pure gold in the hot fire. The Venerable Master composed a verse expressing his principle. So this poem is quite interesting. Freezing to death, we do not scheme. Starving to death, we do not beg. Dying of poverty, we ask for nothing. Accord with condition. It should be accord. Or according with condition. It should be accord. Accord with condition. We do not change. Not changing, we accord with condition. It's the same. We adhere firmly to our three great principles. We renounce our life to do the Buddha's work. We take the responsibility to mold our own destiny. We rectify our life as the Sangha's work. Encountering specific matters, we understand the principle. Understanding the principle, we apply them in specific matter. We carry on the single pulse of the patriarch's mind transmission. From the time he left the home life, the Venerable Master firmly maintained the six great principles. These six great principles which he taught is very useful. The first one is, do not fight. Second one is, do not be greedy. Bhutan. Then the third one is, do not seek. Bu zheng, bu tan, bu qiu. Seek is qiu. And the fourth one is, bu zhi shi, do not be selfish. Then do not pursue personal advantage. Bu zhi li. Then the last one is, do not lie, bringing benefits to the multitude. So these are the six principles. Bu zheng, bu tan, bu qiu, bu zhi shi, bu zhi li, bu wang yi. So I remember when we take refuge, he repeated this. In fact, these are more refined aspects of the five precepts. Teaching with wisdom and compassion, dedicating himself to serving others and acting as a model for others, he influenced countless people to sincerely change their form and head towards the pure and exalted Bodhi way. Living beings of the present have deep obstruction and scarce blessing indeed. This is very true. You are cultivator, you will know. In fact, a lot of living beings in our present lifetime, our planet Earth, they have a lot of coming obstruction, and they don't have much blessing. But of course, kilometer cultivator of the way who knows the Dhamma and have the past, they are different. We are here talking about the general aspect of the human population. So if you have this condition, you must have the Dhamma, otherwise you cannot come out of it. Because most living beings are deluded, and their past karmic obstruction are very deep or heavy. Then they don't have much blessings. That's why most of them suffer. They are born in country with difficult and harsh conditions. Even now, in our 20th century, we already 2022, you look around the world, our planet, there are still a lot of war going on, civil war, conflict, human human disagreement, and we have a lot of various type of moral, political, and also other type of climatic issues and problems where the world is facing. And it's not easy. Now even the whole of the supply chain, our energies, the prices has gone crazy. Commodity also has gone crazy. Metal prices. Then there is this supply chain problem with manufacturing. Then we also have a lot of trade disagreement. People are imposing trade sanctions to cause a lot of hardship to humanity, to mankind, and all this trigger inflation. And the people who benefited are those who have an agenda, selfish agenda behind the military incorporated corporation, the weapon industry, the politician. Then also we have the pharmaceutical. That's why we have the pandemic disrupting our planet over the last 2 years. Now only we're talking about opening up. Then we have a lot of climatic conditions all over the world facing problems. Yesterday, I think US, they have very severe typhoon and wind disaster. I think in the state of Texas or what, I forgot already. Very severe. The whole park got blown off. Not flood, tsunami, but wind. Then the whole house, building, uprooted on the foundation and just blown off. I have never seen such a ferocious type of wind condition. Then we have a lot of climatic issue, pollution and all those things all over the world. Then of course flood is very common everywhere. Even the recent KL, Shah Alam kind within our country, and now all the eastern states, Terengganu, Kelantan, and even some of the state and the wind condition are still quite bad. Then the earthquake, landslide, then Japan recently earthquake again. So many of these things are happening. Although our planet is so beautiful, so unique, so special, and we look like a very affluent type of race, where we have progressed actually very far. We have a lot of things. But if you look at our planet as a whole, many people are still suffering. You're talking about war and all this that trigger the refugee flow. And this humanitarian aid, they are still not resolved. Even Afghanistan, a lot of people are dying. And they have a lot of issue, a lot of problem. Because of war, they go and do all this, then after that, they left the country in ruin under that type of government, which is giving the people a lot of problems. So these are the karmic things that will continuously roll on. And we can witness and see a lot of division, and they are trying to divide the world into all the various nations, entity and all those things. Then they try to use the block of nation to actually bully others or sanction others. So they go and form NATO, the European Union, the G20, then they have the various type of grouping, APEC and all those things. And even Asia is trying to follow. We got the ASEAN 10 and ASEAN 1. Then there are many. Then they even have this currency war, trade wars, and even back war. Then now they are down to the threat of nuclear war. Because there is a Ukraine Russian crisis. Actually, if they don't move on factually, they can trigger off very severe consequences. Because NATO, European Union, and America, they are actually playing fire. Because like China and Russia, they view it so differently. China gave this style analogy. It's like you're putting a bell on Russia, and they defeat Russia as a, was it a tiger or a lion? I forgot any. You make that fellow, who is the king of this nuclear power of the animal kingdom, you go and disturb him, I tell you, you are looking for trouble. It is just like any other conflict, because they are talking about benefits, advantage, and because of benefit, they come out with statement that actually can be very detrimental to world peace. They are not talking about harmony or coming to a table to resolve it amicably, to actually reduce tension and to resolve conflict and bring an end to whatever war or conflict. Because in a war, nobody wins, everybody loses. And the bulk of it is the people. The people who are caught in between. So all this is the reason why Master Shenhua mentioned he can sense that living beings, there are a lot with a lot of coming obstruction, a lot of negativity of karma that condition them to come, and they have to face all this. Then famine is going to be another serious thing. We are going to have food problem because Russia and Ukraine, they are the world's biggest producer of wheat and food. Almost more than a quarter, 37% came from there. So with the war, Then the oil and gas also, they create the sanction, they trigger off all the sudden surging commodity prices and all this thing. And now, with the pandemic, coupled with the pandemic, a lot of things is not going well. The inflation figure is going to be very, very bad and not easy to survive during this period. If you are a normal salary earner or just an ordinary retiree that don't have stable income or wealth or financial stability, it's not easy to pull through this coming, I should say, pending problems where the world is going to face. A lot of things can go wrong. And now even a lot of economies, a lot of very famous people who know about this thing, they also don't know what is going to be the actual outcome of what is happening to the world. But this thing is something very unique. And of course, I say it's a blessing to be able to witness all this, but not the coming negativity side. That's why I say our this decade where I was born and I live, we were so blessed with all this exposure and experiences, and we came to witness so many things. So okay, we continue. So hopefully this sharing can open up your mind and let you understand more things. Okay, I read through that statement again. Living beings of the present era had deep obstruction, coming obstruction, and scarce blessing. This is very true. For a sage of the era has abruptly manifest, passing into stillness. The living being of the world has suddenly lost their harbor of refuge. Yet the life of the venerable master is actually an enactment of the great flower adornment sutra of the Dhammarani. Although he has manifested entry into Nirvana, he constantly turned the infinite wheel, not leaving any traces. He came from empty space, and to empty space he returned. His disciples can only carefully follow their master's instruction, hold fast to their principles, honor the Buddha's reputation or regulations, and be ever more vigorous in advancing upon the path of Bodhi, so that they can repay the venerable master's boundless and profound grace. Finish. Okay, so at least we finished the biography. So just to add a bit more to my sharing just now, why inflation is going to be very bad is because, as you all know, the oil price has reached record high. The crude, they are now selling at $115 per barrel, all time high. And this price looks like it's going to stay for a while, because with the country opening up, the airline flying, the demand for crude is going to be more. And as we all know, all our transportation, all our logistics, all our shipping, the movement of goods, everything, we rely on fuel price. So when fuel price go up, transportation go up, cost of goods will go up, inflation will be very bad. Then with the pandemic, every country is pumping money into the system. Too much money chasing after too few goods will lead to severe inflation. Then with a lot of market uncertainty because of war and all those things, I think there are going to be a very intense impact on the world economy and on people's ability to actually sustain their life. With only a few, I think, who have that financial strength or maybe savings to see them through. Most of them will have problems, especially the war-torn countries and people who are refugees and all that. There is not much they can do. Okay, so now we go to the 18 miles. This one we can go through quite fast. The 18 great vows of Venerable Master Xuan Huang. When the Venerable Master was cultivating the practice of filial piety, moving beside his mother's grave, he made the following vows. Before the Buddha on the 19th day of the 6th lunar month of the year, Jitong. He said, I bow before the Buddha in the 10 directions, the Dhamma, the Tipitaka, and the Holy Sangha of the past and present. Pray that they will hear and bear witness. I, disciple to Long, see Anzu, resolve never to seek for myself the blessing of gods and human, or the attainment of Savaka, Pacheka Buddha, and High Bodhisattva. Instead, I rely on the Supreme Vehicle, the One Buddha Vehicle, and bring forth the resolve for Bodhi, vowing that all living beings of the Dhammarai will attain utmost right and equal proper enlightenment at the same time as I. I vow that as long as there is a single Bodhisattva in the 3 period of time throughout the 10 direction of the Dhammarai to the very end of empty space, who has not accomplished Buddhahood, I too will not attain the right enlightenment. I vow that as long as there is a single Pacheka Buddha in the 3 period of time throughout the 10 direction of the Dhammarai to the very end and empty space, who has not accomplished Buddhahood, I too will not attain the right enlightenment. So all this is to ensure that he continue to come back and do his work. So similarly, his third vow is, he changed it to, I vow that as long as there is a single Savaka, means the sainthood way, the sound hearer, in the 3 period of time throughout the 10 direction of the Dhammarai, that he repeats, he will not attain the right enlightenment, means Sammasambuddha. Then he fourth vow is for single gods in the triple gem. Then the fifth vow is for single human beings in the world of the 10 direction. Then number 6, he repeat for single asura, the demon rites. Then number 7 is for a single animal, the animal rite. Then number 8 is a hungry ghost for the beta rite. And finally, of course, the hell beings, hell dwellers, the hell rhyme. Then after that, he said, I vow that as long as there is a single god, immortal, human, asura, airborne or waterborne creature, animal, animate or inanimate object, or single dragon, beast, ghost, spirit, or the light of the spiritual rhyme that has taken refuge with me and has not accomplished Buddhahood, I too will not attain the right enlightenment. So this one he always plead to the disciple, be hardworking, be diligent, otherwise you will delay the master's supreme enlightenment. Then number 11, is a vow to fully dedicate all blessings and bliss which I myself ought to receive and enjoy to all living beings of the Dhammarai. Then number 12, the vow, I vow to fully undertake upon myself all suffering and hardship of all living beings in the Dhammarai. So this one is a very heavy vow. Then number 13, I vow to maintain or manifest innumerable bodies as a means of gaining access to the minds of living beings throughout the universe who do not believe in the Buddha Dhamma, causing them to correct their fault and tend towards the wholesomeness, repent of their errors and start anew, take refuge in the Triple Gem, and ultimately accomplish Buddhahood. I vow that all living beings who see my face or even hear my name will fix their thought on Bodhi and quickly accomplish the Buddha way. This is a good vow. I vow to respectfully observe the Buddha's instruction and cultivate the practicing of eating only one meal a day. That is vow number 15. And vow number 16. I vow to enlighten all sentient beings universally, responding to the multitude of differing potential. Then number 17. This one is for this life only. He vowed. I vow to obtain the five eyes, six spiritual powers, and the freedom of being able to fly in this very life. Then the 18th vow. I vow that all my vows will certainly be fulfilled. Also the four basic vows of the Bodhisattva. I vow to save the innumerous living beings in this entire universe or existence. I vow to eradicate the inexhaustible affliction. I vow to study the eliminate Dhammadhamma. I vow to accomplish the unsurpassed Buddhahood. So these are the four basic vows of the Bodhisattva. Okay, we finish here. So we can end our first session. So now we will open up for meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have or sharing that you want to have.
I can share something.
Yeah.
I think in one of those days, I noticed my neighbor has a new maid.
Oh, okay.
And the neighbor is quite nice. She will, we have a sharing of fence, and hang my laundry on the fence.
Oh, okay.
So she hangs hers elsewhere.
Oh,
but the maid doesn't know.
He
will hang it on the fence, and she will wash before I and put my laundry out.
Okay, so whatever. That's a good one.
Yeah. Then I realized a very stable, calm mind there. And all of a sudden, when I saw that, my state of mind changed.
Yeah, it's stir again. But at least now you are aware, which is good.
It's changed. I said, I don't know whether I could create bad karma or not.
Don't worry about that. These are habitual tendencies that has not been rooted out. That's why the Dhamma cultivation, as you progress, you will know. When you still have the habitual tendency, that one take a while to root it out. So immediately it was, but then after that you are aware, not so bad. That's why don't worry about whether got karma or not, because that thing happened already or arise already. So just let things be. More important is, are you aware that your mind has developed that aversion or that dislike? That is a mental hindrance. That is sakyadity, self-delusion, conditioned by the evil roots, the greed, the hatred, and the delusion, mainly the delusion behind, because the ego, that is the one that triggers the dislike, where you think you own and you think you have the right to hang it because it's like an understood thing with your neighbor. But then the maid is new, like you found. So you should develop all this understanding, reflect on it, contemplate on it, and stabilize your understanding. And the most important about Dhamma practice is to tell yourself, remember what the Buddha advised. Whatever that arises within this conditioned world, there are causes and conditions behind. And this one is wisdom. When you understand this sentence, it's very profound. Yeah, that is the reality. Whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions. So don't jump to conclusion. Don't allow your views, opinion, and conditioning to stir. Because thing is just the way it is. condition like that, things be like that. Then learn to accept all this happening more and more with a smile, with joy, with understanding. Then resolve it amicably to what? To application of Noble Eightfold Path. There is nothing in this world that we can't resolve if we open our mind to it. If we have the Noble Eightfold Path, the right understanding, the appropriate Noble Eightfold Path factor to talk to people harmoniously, appropriately, with understanding and all those things, then using the appropriate right speech, then we act righteously, we act gentle, pleasant, and with a lot of harmony within, understanding within. So all this is going to bring forth solution to whatever misunderstanding or problem. Okay?
Yeah, it's okay. Because after that, whenever she does that, I don't have this dislike already.
Oh, good. That's good.
So then, okay. So just say okay. She hangs that hang next to it or something. Use other space. So I thought, okay, and look at for a different angle.
Yeah. That's how the cultivator come to realize that we have this habitual tendency. And in the past, without mindfulness, without awareness, we don't even know what is going on.
Realize it.
We don't realize it. Then we just do it habitually. Get angry or emotional. Then you will be spending a lot of heedless thinking about it for non-issue. Getting angry yourself and commenting, how can this may be so unreasonable? Why don't he ask the master or the owner that I have been using this wall? All these are your thoughts, sankara activity, which living being create through wrong view, wrong understanding, and it trigger of wrong thought, and this type of wrong thought is going to make you emotional, unhappy, having all the like and dislike inside, especially negative one, emotion. So this is what practical Dhamma in daily life, you see them arising within the mundane mind. And when you have the pure awareness, the mindfulness, the Dhamma understanding, or the Yoniso Manasikara, the wisdom, that one will surface. Thing is just the way it is. She is just the way she is. The world is the world. Then you can be at peace. Then whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. So all this understanding will surface, that it will promise to have the mind that is different from normal heedless living being who live life heedlessly. That's why it transforms the cultivator, the individual, personality wise, character wise, understanding wise. You become a noble being, you become different, you no longer act hastily, you no longer get emotional, angry. That condition, unhappy mind that lead to conflict, misunderstanding, and so all this will be the thing of the past. You no longer behave that way. Then there is a lot of joy knowing all this. Due to you, Yun Chan. Yeah, good.
Okay. Only something small. That's all.
But good enough. Yeah, it's the beginning of the cultivation, the big thing. Then from this, you can apply to bigger thing. Especially things that affect you more personally, involving your loved ones, involving your own private matter and all those things you own and hold on to dearly. Then you see how it actually can still stir and make you emotional, fearful, especially the fearful when something out of the ordinary suddenly happens, whether you still panic or not. That is a very good test, I tell you. Because sometimes I always joke with my wife and that she sometimes her way is like that. She said, oh, see now, means got big problem already. I said, why panic? Okay, what is it? Then sometimes he used Hokkien, tua tai chi liao. Wow. At first we thought, oh, what is it? Then of course, he will tell me what is it. Then when it turned out, I said, nothing, this is nothing, resolve it. Because these are very common nowadays. Like you say, wow, war already, Russia, Ukraine, hold liao. The threat of nuclear war, third world war coming, you go and project your thought and do all this thing, of course, it will create thought by Ji Liao, understand? That's why what Master Shen Huan did was the Cuban crisis, you remember? He go and fast for 35 days and make vow for causing on the year for peace to prevail. And he managed to help out in whatever way he do. So there are a lot of way that the cultivator can manifest to help a situation. Like this war thing also, you can radiate your love, your metta. Then help the consciousness to actually become better. Because the totality of our planetary consciousness is the movement behind the arising of all this. So for it to reverse itself, we must radiate more and more love, more and more metta, more and more understanding. Then we must meditate more so that this tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, it can pervade and create more and more condition to improve the world situation. So all these are what cultivator can do. Okay? Very good. Okay. Again, you create a good condition. What else? You have any question?
No
anything,
question.
Anything to comment about today's topic, the sharing, Master Xuan Hua's vow?
I didn't realize that you are doing Master Xuan Hua on Thursday. I thought you normally continue doing the same Lotus Sutra.
Yeah. Because this is at the end of chapter 1. A lot of people doesn't know about his biography and his vow. So I want to go through it so that you all can gain exposure to it and understanding.
Thanks. I have read a bit of his biography before.
Oh, yeah, during the early days, the 70s, I remember. They wrote it out in psycho style sheet. I received it in the university. Then later on, they compiled into a book. There is a book, a hard copy, his biography.
But this is the first time I come across his 18 vows.
After my father turned negative, right? I was still feeling well, but Monday, I think not well already.
Oh, so your turn to kena.
Oh, but very funny, alright, yo. It's not that bad, lah. So I tested on Monday. It was negative. Tuesday also negative, but I feel unwell, lah. I got
dry cough. Not so fast. The rapid test, not so fast on the result.
You mean initially it will show negative first?
Initially it will show negative, but many people told me already.
For 3 days it's still negative, lah.
Yeah, some people 8 days. But if you know the symptom coming, means you do the necessary thing, take the kucha or whatever, then try to take care of yourself, the fever, the sore throat. If a sore throat, you need some sore throat medication.
No sore throat, but I feel like getting...
Well, there is good news, means very mild. Fever?
Fever on and off lah.
Yeah, that's why you feel not well. So that one, you are not allergic to Panadol, yeah? You can take Panadol. Panadol, you then have enough rest. Drink more water, gargle your throat, clean your nostril, then isolate, protect yourself. Take bath more often, then wash your hand, then change your clothes.
Okay. Just that I don't know how to isolate myself anymore. Like.
Your father okay already because he got the natural antibody already, don't worry.
Because my brother also like not well, but he longer than me like, about my father's time until now, so I see him.
You will get the thing. Because now it's very common, you know, the whole family will get it. Yes, my sister, who is in Puzhou, also the same. It started about 10 days ago when she first caught it. She also don't know where she got it. Then after she got it, she isolated. But no point, they are staying in the same house. The grandchildren also kena. The children also kena. All the four children, they all kena. That's why it is like take turn. At first, they also don't have symptoms, but they go and do the RTK. Initially, negative, but they suspect, so they go and do the PCR. All the PCR all turn out positive. Very accurate, and most of them, but my sister one is bad because the CT value 17 is very low. That's why that one spread very fast. So you stay in the same house, it's very easy to get the thing because it's very contagious, especially the Omicron and the new one, the BA2 or the other one. So whatever it is, don't worry, because most of the cases now mild to asymptomatic. Then 99.3% is category 1 or 2, mild or asymptomatic. So you only need to take care.
Actually, I'm not worried. Like, I'm okay having it. Like, just that I don't know how to isolate. Like, because there's only 3 toilets. Like, we have 4 persons. Then we got, I mean, you cannot have 1 toilet to 1 person. Then when you eat, sure, you will touch your food, and then if you want
definitely, to... definitely. That's why you try your best. You wash your hand very often, then wear mask, then, of course, clean. You got a spray or not?
Got spray.
The spray. You have to use for the time being. But luckily, your father already over, so not so bad. Yeah. What about your mother?
My mother, belum kena, that's why...
Then you have to let her stay in a safe place.
She's staying in her room lah, but
Her room got toilet.
Got attached toilet.
Then let her stay and use that toilet. Don't share with her. You all better use other toilet outside.
That's why
Don't worry, you can arrange it.
Okay.
Do it with understanding, then there is joy. Do not allow the fear to arrive. There's no use. Fear is a projection of the thought, and the thought is just sankara. Sankara, anicca. Sankara bring about suffering, dukkha. So all this understanding will be there. Then you just do what you have to do. Then meditate, metta, do your religious routine. Then keep yourself safe and well, miss. Wash often, gargle, then take care.
I think you take the liang. What now? The liang. That's what.
Liang. The father took and recover.
I haven't taken because it's negative.
Not serious. No. If you don't do the PCR, show negative one. Most of them all negative, but PCR come back, show confirm.
Oh, then I should take the PCR, because if I take PCR,
but you government servant, right? You can go to government clinic or hospital morning.
Yeah, I can. Just that I didn't go, lah. I don't feel like going. Okay, let's see how, brother. Just that, like what you were telling Sister Yun Chan just now, I noticed sometimes I handle things very well. Sometimes very well. Because my father now well already. He very, to me, very energetic. He cook. He cook and then to me, after for a person that just recently recovered.
You will have a lot of joy because you see him recover and become different, very energetic, which is very good.
Yeah, before that, Stan also cannot.
Very weak.
But anyway, yesterday, because I was isolating myself upstairs, right? In the evening, he cooked rice. I heard a loud, like a big pot drop onto the the floor.
Like accident. So
I thought, better go down and check.
Yeah.
I went down. I know I'm not dangerous to him anymore. So I went down. The whole rice cooker with rice and pork inside, he dropped onto the floor everywhere.
What's
it spoiled? the rice cooker not spoiled lah, but then cannot eat already or everything.
Because the rice all come out already.
All come out already lah.
I think too hot lah, must be too hot.
He said too hot lah, he cannot then.
Too hot, he cannot cook. That's why I need to be careful. This type of thing better young people do. Don't let him do. Tell your brother to help.
Our brother also sick lah.
Then ask your father to leave it there and you'll take the rice from there. No need to bring it to the table.
Correct.
Normally we leave the rice inside the rice cooker, then we walk short distance to take the rice. But nowadays we seldom eat rice, that's why we don't have such problem. We seldom cook also. Only once a while.
When I saw that, I say I clean up lah. Big work, I have to do a lot of clean up. Actually, he wanted to clean one, but I say no way I can.
Should take over. As children,
When I feel like that, clean up very fast. There's no unhappiness.
Not like last time. Didn't even want to blame or say anything. Just tell your father, don't worry, it's okay, small thing. We will solve.
So because that time also I feel like I was getting well lah. So that one I handled it very well lah.
Very good. So you can see the difference,
And it was like can finish very fast, no big deal lah.
Very efficient.
Very efficient, not like a very difficult type of work to do.
No more. Because when you are not angry or unhappy, you can do it very well and with joy some more. Then you realize things can be resolved. Then there is this understanding. Nothing in this world cannot be resolved. If the mind understand, you can be at peace. And when you are at peace, that mind, which is insecurity, can do things efficiently. Then when you do with joy and understanding, that work become very beautiful. That's why mindfulness, clarity of mind, the Dhamma, these are the beautiful ingredients for good life, to turn your mind around.
Then after that I feel very tired after a while.
Because you haven't recovered.
I thought I was recovering already. But
no, not yet. Your symptoms are still there. You still don't feel comfortable. Means you know you haven't recovered. Mm.
Yeah.
But normally, the person who go through that, they will know. Mm.
Mm.
Mm. Because when you are fully recovered or almost recovered, you will know.
Because it's like coming on and off like that.
Yeah.
I thought when it's off, I thought I'm getting well.
Not so fast. Yeah. But don't worry, you give yourself a few more days. You will clean it up.
Really, even can I come out from my room?
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, that cannot let that means.
Not bad because you can still attend the class sharing. You can still report, which is very good. Good sign.
It's not that bad. It's just that I don't feel well only.
That is the sign that there is something not completely well inside your physical body, your health. But your mind is okay already now. You can understand, you can endure to go through whatever. But like you say, off and on, you can feel it. Still not normal yet, not perfect. When you are normal, you can feel it. You very healthy. So all this is what the cultivator who has the Dhamma can experience. Then you can actually cope very well.
But I noticed tonight dinner, I didn't behave so well.
Never mind. Just be natural. Let things be. What happened? Did you become unhappy at certain issue or instant?
Yeah. This one, I want to share lah. Because the rice was a bit hard lah.
Very good. You share.
I inside not very happy lah. I tell myself, no, my ma, can just tell my father add more water. Just say only lah.
Okay.
But I guess you feel the aversion and unhappiness.
Yeah. You are more sensitive already. Very good.
Even though I have this, that means I know that I never mind.
You have that yoniso manasikara that can prompt you. Means the awareness with the understanding, you can accept. But you are aware that there is this habitual tendency of the past that will stir your mind and make you feel unhappy. That's why I also used to tell people, I say, I prefer the soft type of rice, more watery or not so hard. Even I take one time in also, I like the one that is more cooked. I don't want the one that is not so well cooked. But I don't have aversion. Whatever I receive, I can eat, I will eat. And if, of course, I have the good condition to go to the right shop with the right way of cooking, I will like it. But these are our personal preference, which is not a problem. It's not a craving. It's what your system needs and like. Yeah, I realize nowadays I like to eat softer, more watery type of thing. Too dry is not so good for my system. When I swallow it, because it will not digest so well. I have to chew it longer and all those things. But it is more soft, well cooked, watery, easy to eat. And of course, fruits also the same. But what is more important is we develop this understanding as we live life. That is Dhamma in daily life. That's why you will start to see and observe all this. Yeah, these are our mental reaction and movement. So when you already have the Dhamma, you will not behave that way. You may know that, the rice is a bit hard. That's why last time I remember I told you all the same story. 1989, that time when I already had the Dhamma. One day I asked my wife to prepare coffee. He forgot to put sugar. Then I stayed on getting upset, unhappy, or call her. I didn't laugh. I just laugh and smile. Then I say, come. I say, you taste the coffee. I say, that only she realized she forgot to put sugar. That's why it become different. These are realities. Happen, so what? Resolve it. So need to put sugar? Put sugar, so be it. And a lot of other things, you will come to know and understand. So like, after that, suddenly you walk somewhere, and what happened was, my leg hit something very hard, I think a metal part. It was actually very painful, and people would have shouted, ah, and all that. But no sound came out. I was smiling, you know, there was this smile. We are happened already, what else can you do? Grief over here, unhappy over here, no point, you know, it's painful, so what? Conditions is such, arise already, happen already, so we have to accept, we have to endure, and really, it's not like last time. The pain becomes totally different, it's no more a pain, it's like, you can even be aware of that thing happening inside that very clearly. Then you just relax into it. Then finish. All these are very beautiful learning, beautiful Dhamma. Your mind different, completely different. It doesn't behave the old way anymore.
Yeah, Radio, I agree with you. Just now you talk about that when you kick the wall.
The metal. I accidentally actually knocked against it near my knee there. It was actually very painful. I didn't know that there is a metal piece that jumped out. I was walking through the pathway in the park area. I think the construction worker, I think he didn't take it out. He didn't pull it out. So I banged against it, my knee.
That one I can handle, I mean so far lah, quite well also because
very good.
But this one is not more to Dhamma. I think maybe it's more to like Brother Dio say habitual tendency because from young my mother always tell me, I mean she say like if I kick like sometimes when she walk she might accidentally don't know how kick the wall for them and it will be very painful. So sometimes it happened to me also lah. So my mother from young will tell me, you happen to do that complain or what, you know. You just okay, never mind, sweep it off, then you won't feel the pain. And I do what she taught me.
Oh, that is good advice. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a sensation and it will be gone fast.
It's faster. That's right. It's just like what I used to share with you all. When you are down with something, do not allow your mind also to be affected. Understand or not? That's why you accept the thing, then you move on. Then you don't feel so bad. Otherwise, you become miserable and your thought torments you. You start to go and proliferate the thinking, the sankhara, stupid fellow, never remove that thing. How can they live? No use. All this is what your thought tell you. You are arguing with your own thought process. So it will create even more proliferation of sankhara activity than your aversion, your happiness, your emotion, your views, your opinion, your connection. All this has been moving without you being aware or realize what is going on. So now the mind cannot do all those things already. It doesn't see the logic or meaning of doing it anymore. No, why? Where the reality is, truth is, finish. Ta-ta-ta, suchness, habit. But to share with others, we can share all this.
very true.
Yeah, sadhu.
Yeah.
You better rest, Yeah. More water, gargle your throat, You got Listerine or good salt water also can, gargle more often. Then maintain cleanliness. Mask yourself a bit.
Okay.
So, Manyuan, get well quick. Get well soon.
Thank you. no problem, no problem. Okay, yeah. should be okay, right?
Yeah, no problem. I know you can handle it very well. Now, your father went through those few days. You report to my wife and let me know. That was beautiful. You did it very well.
He also very happy because he has a group of school friends that he meet every Wednesday, you know. So he now couldn't meet them because he got COVID lah.
He
need to tell his group of friends that, you know, I'm getting very fast despite my age, and he was very surprised also that, and he was saying it is a miracle lah. So I know.
Yeah, Badu.
So yeah lah, why?
Very good. That at least now you can see he has the joy. You have the joy. That is what Dhamma is. Then of course he has to isolate. I got another classmate also same. He also down with COVID. He's on quite bad. He got fever, he got sore throat 10 days. Today only he more or less 90% recovered. And he called me and talked to me. He said he still don't want to come out. He want to wait for another 2 days or so until the PCR test negative. Otherwise, he said don't want to spread to people, which is very good. So he stay at home. He wants to like social distance, try to avoid the wife and the sister-in-law from coming close contact. But he can't because even though the house is very big, he sweat a lot. Then he changed his clothing twice a day. Then because they had to eat in the house, the wife went by and the sister-in-law have to prepare some clothes, cook and all things. Then they wash their clothing. Through washing clothing also, it can spread. Then he said recently he told me the wife also kena. Then the sister-in-law also kena. That's why I say the trend is if one kena, the whole house will kena, because the Omicron, the rate they spread is very fast, but less severe. That is good news. So we have to have all this understanding. It will help.
Thank you, Radio.
Yeah, Sadhu. Thank you for your good sharing.